Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of the NBL News Podcast. Joined by Jackson and Aiden for another week once again. What's going on, guys?
Not much. The power's going to go out soon, but yeah.
Yeah, pending on another thunderstorm, we may or may not be cut off. But fair bit going on recently, which has been good.
One round to go now. Fantastic round of basketball. I think now we're more clear on who's going to make the final six and the final top four maybe now. So couple of losses along the way. We'll get into that. But I think the main news that broke today we have to talk about is Tom Abercrombie. I say he is easily, no doubt, the greatest player to ever represent the New Zealand Breakers. Four-time NBL champion. Was the NBL Finals MVP in their first championship. He's been a part of every grand final campaign, the one last year against Sydney as well. Also, All-NBL first team, I think, in 2012, 2013, around there. And a great player in New Zealand NBL, a great international for the Tall Blacks. I mean, arguably the greatest Tall Black ever as well. Few in discussion, but fantastic career. True great of the NBL. His jersey is going to be hang up in the rafters. That was an obvious decision a few years ago already. So, fantastic career. You guys got anything to say about the Tom Abercrombie retirement
just
at all?
Just the most Maybe nicest you... guy, like, down to earth. Like, during the NBL Cup, when he was getting, when we were standing in Tom and I had a few conversations. He was down to earth. Just the most polite guy I've met. NBL.
Yeah, I say he's one of the most liked guys in NBL history too. Like you, Jackson, you're a Perth fan growing up, and obviously the rivalry between Perth and New Zealand was a big thing in the 2010s. But you read the comments today, and there's a lot of Perth fans that appreciated his career. I don't think there was a Perth fan that hated him. I think they just hated him because he would always beat them. Whenever they beat them. So
the only hate that came towards him was because of how good defensively he was on whoever Perth's best player was at that time, whether it was Beal or, you know, him guarding Damo as primary ball handler or recently Bryce Cotton. But, like, I can't name one bad thing about him, honestly. And, like, this past week kind of showed, not this past week, the week before, kind of showed his character a bit. Perth retired Damien Martin's jersey and Abercrombie was the only Breakers player to come out for it. Like, that says a fair bit about his character.
I think there may have been a couple others, but...
Yeah, but, like, he came out pretty early for it. Yeah. So...
And watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which shows his character. It really does. And there's... I don't know what you guys think his greatest memory, greatest moment of his career. Some say maybe his game winner during COVID.
That's
his dunk on Jaren Jackson Jr., the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Him winning Grand Final MVP back in 2011. But for me, I thought he's the best thing about his career for me was his ability to lead the Breakers, not only just the players and the team, but the whole entire organization, lead them out of those two COVID years where they struggled a lot. They pretty much played the whole full 2 years on the road, and he led that team out of, you know, that tough, really tough time for that organization, and led them to a grand final appearance the year after. They were a couple minutes away last year from ultimately winning a fifth championship, and would have been Abercrombie's fifth championship as well. So I think that was probably his greatest feat. Yes, he won four championships before that. He won a grand final MVP. He's had great success in the New Zealand League too. I think he played in Europe a bit too. But I think personally his greatest moment was him leading the Breakers out of that two full tough years into a grand final appearance the next year as a true captain. I don't know what you think is his greatest feat in his career, especially for the Breakers, Jackson, but I thought that was his best.
Look, you know, how long do we know how long he's been captain for? Because it seemed like it's been a fairly long time.
Almost 10 years, I'd guess.
Yeah.
I think probably like 20.
So,
as soon
yeah,
as
if he,
Corona left, I feel like he would have been captain.
And if he wasn't captain then, he was definitely part of that leadership group at the Breakers. So, like, he's just been, like, for the past decade, when you think of NBL players, Tom Abercrombie is one of those guys. Like, I think you think of Martin, Golding, Abercrombie, Daniel Johnson, just guys who played in the league for a long time.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the league's going to look a very, very different when he's gone.
Especially
so,
the Breakers.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, they're players that have impact on teams. And, like, after they leave, they're not the same for quite a while. And hopefully this doesn't happen for the Breakers. But, like, I reckon that's the type of player that he's been. You know, he's been one constant for a very long time in that organization and club that he's going to be sorely missed when he's gone.
Because we kind of saw that with Perth when Damo left. Perth
Yeah.
were kind of looking for answers for the necklace. I mean, they still had Jesse Wagstaff and guys like Condon and that, but they're still missing that sort of veteran leadership group. And, you know, they missed the finals back-to-back years because of that. And they're finally, this season, they're finally finding a way back into it. But let's hope maybe a guy like Finn Delaney steps into that role, or like Isaiah Liafa. Hopefully the Breakers can find that next guy up to take. It's massive shoes to fill. And hopefully we see Abercrombie still stay in basketball in some capacity, whether that's commentary or coaching or even a GM of some sorts. Hopefully he stays in the game of basketball and true legend of the game. So much respect to him. Let's talk about the basketball in the past week. I think the biggest talking point, the biggest game to talk about would be the Illawarra Sydney game there to finish off the round on Sunday. That game meant a lot for both teams. If Sydney win, pretty much a guaranteed spot in the top six. Illawarra win, if Illawarra lost that as well, it'd be a tough fight for them with them playing Perth and Melbourne next two games. But Illawarra get the win, convincing win a bit at the end there too. One of their best probably their best win this year, maybe. I don't know if you guys agree with that one, but it was crazy to see, like, the Illawarra chant. This is what's so good about the NBL, when the small town team of Illawarra, you know, the chants of Illawarra ring out 15,000 people at Kudos Bank Arena and show them that they aren't the little brother. They've never been the little brother. They're the inaugural side. They've been around actually longer than the Sydney Kings, so they should be the big brother. But they've Justin Tatum. I mean, I don't know how else to put it, but Coach of the Year is definitely a lock, and crazy game for the Hawks. And even if they don't make the play now, like, this is like the icing on the cake a bit of their season. Still got a long way to go, but, like, from them to come back where they were and to beat such a talented team like Sydney on the road and have Illawarra chance all around the stadium, it's amazing how this team has completely turned around. But what'd you make of the game, Jackson?
So I need to give a bit of context to me watching this game. So I was coming back from United and the Breakers on Sunday. And I got home with 5 minutes to go, and the game was already over. Like, and I was checking scores on the train home and walking to Jollymont Station, and it was just 10 points, 15 points, 10 points, 15 points. Sydney couldn't get it down below that for basically the entire game. And I get home, and the players look shot. Abdul Fattah looks shot. Like, they just lack motivation. The last play of the game, Jalen Adams, hands on hips, did absolutely nothing. Like, and I was talking to my dad watching the game at the time, and we were like, every single point matters for Sydney. Like, they should be trying their hardest to score here. And Adams just has his hands on his hips as they throw up a lob to Hogue. which misses. But like Adams didn't even bother moving. Like they just look empty.
Yeah,
like there's no motivation there.
You can see
and this isn't a knock on Illawarra's win. This is a knock on the Kings. And there's a lack of buy-in for the from the players at the moment. Like, remember where they were? Like, I want to say 10, 15 weeks ago. Like, they were second, and they were looking really good. And then they had a big loss to Melbourne with Jordan Hunter being out leading into the FIBA break in Melbourne. Then ever since then, downhill. They get one win. Then they can't win the next game, and they can't win the one after that. Then they get a win back. Then they lose the next, what, five? Like, it's, yeah, this is going to be studied, this Sydney Kings season, for a long time. But on Illawarra, and a bit more positively, just Tyler Harvey looked good. Like, that's
probably
the type
his
of
best
game,
of the season.
That's the type of game you want from him. And it's not like he's just jacking up shots. Like, he only had 21 points, but it's the 6 assists that he got as well. And it's the fact that he shot 16 shots and only 7 of them went in, but he didn't shoot 21, right? He was very effective in terms of what he did. And, like, that's the type of performance you want from him now. Like, Gary Clark should be your number one option. Then it goes Froling. Then those two can create for the guards. But that's the type of game you want from Tyler Harvey these days.
I think what a lot of commentators have been saying is we don't know what Sydney we got to get each week. As we saw, they beat arguably the best team in the league, Melbourne United, pretty convincingly last week. Was it last week or a couple of weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago,
I believe.
Sorry. And then they lose to a depleted Phoenix side. They lose to the Hawks. And this is, not knocking the Hawks. They're a top four team at the moment.
To Perth by 6 when they could have had a chance to win it. Like, they subbed out Jalen Adams when it was a 4-point game and it was over. Like,
they're such an unpredictable team, and I think with this unpredictability, you need stability to be stable, at least to be competitive in the finals, and they don't look like a championship team at all, and they're probably still a good chance to make the play-in because obviously they played a Phoenix and Breakers played Bullets. We'll get into all that stuff later to see all the results, but like everything points their way to still making it, but they look like a team that's probably whoever finishes fifth there, Brisbane, New Zealand, or even Illawarra, whoever finishes fifth there is pretty well likely to beat them in that game, no matter where it's played. So they are pure pretenders, and it's no good to see it. You always want to see a team go back to back to back because it's such a rare feat, but this is not one way to respond to a back-to-back championship run. So it was funny, the owners sitting courtside, Bogan and then Paul Smith. And I don't think, no matter what happens, I think McWood may not be there next season. But your thoughts on the game, Aiden?
Well, Sydney is coming off a 9-day break. They played last Friday. Illawarra was coming back from New Zealand. They should have been a lot more prepared and ready to go. Lose the first quarter, 17-31. What happened during the week? Like, what do they do all week in training? That's what I want to know. Like, are they being too nice to each other? Are they going hard at training? Like, what's going on? Like, as a Sydney fan, you would be very disappointed in that you had a 9-day break and you started, like, 17-31. It wasn't even close from the start. Like, when you give a team a 14-point margin, you're chasing back from the start. Like, you know, it's hard to come back from a 14-point start. And you said they play Phoenix this week. Well, they've lost to Phoenix 3 times, including the Blues, with a depleted team. Like, Sydney could get swept by the Phoenix in series, like, completely. But you never know.
We'll get into all that latter stuff later, but I think that was the biggest result of the past week. I think the second one here was the Cairns Perth game. Now, Cairns were competitive in that game a lot. But
it was tired.
We won't talk about their problems. The main thing to talk about here is Hugh McCall, Adam Ford. And as much as Ford wants to deny it in the press conference, saying that he wasn't the right fit for the game, which makes absolutely zero sense at all. There's obviously a relationship issue there, and it's interesting to see. And I feel like we would know way more details if this was the AFL NRL in Australia. We would have known their rocky relationship probably halfway through the year. As soon as it happened, it would be all over the major tabloids and everything. But because the NBL doesn't have that media attention, we still don't know if that's, you know, what's the issue there, or if there is a bad relationship. But you could obviously see in that Perth game, and as of recent games, Tim Cole played 9 minutes. He's been probably your second best player all year. He's your import. He's your captain. He's your best defensive player. Between him and Bull Quoll, but there's no reason for your captain to be playing, captain import to be playing 9 minutes in a do or die game against Perth. It makes zero sense. And you can see at the end, they were competitive that whole game, no denying that. But at the end, they just blew up because there was no one to lead them over the line. In those tough moments there was no leadership, there was no, chemistry, really, at the end of the day.
Synergy, but yeah, same
yeah. thing. You could see Tim McCall's at the end of the bench. He was, you know, staying away from the timeouts. And Ford says, oh, you know, it was a game situation. You were playing Lachlan Anderson, your 11th man, over him in the final quarter. So let's get real here. There's obviously an issue. But it's looking like it'll be the end of an era there. We've probably to hear McCall. He'll probably leave the team at the end of the year, and it sucks to see, because you see the relationship the last 3 years. This is Tahir McCall's third year. McCall was coaching him in the blitz, and you looked at last season, they had a fantastic year last year. They were all up and about. They took Sydney to game three in the semifinals, and then this year they got a lot of youth in their squad, and I think that kind of NBA preseason stint may have started off being problems with this organization, a lot of injuries, and then maybe some finger pointing may have happened and some hotheads. And I think what has transpired is this season, and they were still in it a few rounds ago, but it looks like they were out of it a few rounds ago. One of you guys go first on Cairns, and what do you make of the McCall Ford kind of relationship there?
Well, you go first, Jackie.
Well, it's interesting because McCall has been there, what, 3 years now?
Yes, yeah, his third season.
And he's been there every single year Ford has been there.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had a really rock-solid relationship for those 3 years up until recently. And, like, I'm not sure if it's the thing about, like, they're losing and that's what's happened, but, like, you know, when McCall was there the first year, they sucked. That, what were they, like, last
they were near
or
the bottom, yeah.
Second
like
last?
Eighth, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, there's something going on behind closed doors that let's not speculate about, but, like, something's happening there. And, like, you know, there's no way McCall's going to be in Cairns next season. And, like, they're coming into this round and they play Melbourne United, who somehow they haven't lost to.
Like they've been a good side.
Yeah, they have.
There's times that this team can easily be a playing team. You look at
Illawarra. They were tied at half time. Like, they were in the game at half time. Like, to lose by
two. Yeah, they were competitive against
Perth. It was 2 points, I think, at three quarter time as well.
Exactly.
And then they just let it go.
How do you let that go that bad? Like, 29 points.
I think, as I said, there's just no leadership at the end. When you don't have your captain sitting at the end of the bench, not involved in timeouts, that just shows there's zero leadership, there's zero synergy, there's no chemistry in that team. And it looks like maybe the players have just gone out, they've already packed their suitcases.
They've gone out, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if maybe it's also the players' relationship with Adam Ford. And I hate to speculate, but if this was the AFL NRL, we would know this information about 5 weeks ago. But that's just how the NBL is. We have no clue about what's going on. But there's definitely problems there with McCall and Ford.
And I had to go to Wartenberg last week. Wartenberg responded to my little rocket. He played well against it. I'll give him that.
He was shooting lots, and then he got injured. That may have played an effect too. But it's, as I was going to say, it's not kind of like Illawarra. the team always had the talent. They had the players to win games, and a change of coach can probably change everything, as we saw with Illawarra. It can get you from a bottom tier team with not competitive at all to look, the Hawks are a championship contender now. And that could be the thing with Cairns again. I'm not putting in them forward saying maybe it's a different coach situation. It could be the players. I don't know what the issue is, but I think there's talent in that squad. That team is capable of being like an Illawarra this season, or like they were last. They were third last year, as I said. They're in the semifinals, so it's interesting to see this kind of downfall within
now,
this organization.
I don't know if this is your record five, but I'm going to ask a question to you both now. Given that Qual's out of contract, will he stay at Cairns as well before leaving? Sorry to steal your question. It's a record five, by the way.
No, it's not. But that's a good question. And it'll be interesting. I don't know the answer to that. I think
he does. I think McCall and Qual are great.
Like, I think Ford will stay. Looks like Ford will stay. Taron Armstrong and Waterberg, Mayen, Calder Gack are the players you build around. But all those imports probably gone. Bull Qual probably might find another destination now. Who knows? But
what is this about? Like, where players go? Stay? No, I don't think Qual will stay.
All right, move on.
You got anything else about Cairns problems or anything else about the round this week? We obviously had a pretty boring game there. Tassie and Phoenix. Melbourne beat New Zealand at home. Brisbane with the convincing win over Adelaide, and New Zealand a decent win over Hawks. You guys got any?
I'll just give a shout out to the Phoenix members and fans staying after the game for the signing. So they lost all a bad game, but they stayed back and got, you know, some just coach of players as well, that, you know, stayed back, did all that fan stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, got around the club, basically.
Jackson, you good there? Nothing to talk about this round?
Yeah, it was a round of blowouts or just 8-point games. Like, it wasn't that much of a competitive round. Like, the only close game of the round was Breakers and Hawks.
Yeah,
the rest of it, you could have literally just not watched it.
Like, I think those two teams deserve to be in the plan. That was a great game. One of the best, honestly, one of the best games this season. Really competitive game. Those teams, hopefully they play a term in the plan. That'd be interesting. That'd be a good game to watch. But outside of the
NBL... Mafeyang is looking good.
Sorry?
Mango Mafeyang looked all right in the game against Bell United.
It's weird, New Zealand. I think they're just a bit of a time delay with the flying to Melbourne there. But see what they do against Brisbane.
You don't want to talk about Modi and your one-word responses?
No, I don't. I swear he hates me.
He knows who you are.
Give me good answers.
He knows your face.
Early in the year, he gave me a question back from a question I asked. So I was on my toes this time, but he still gave me one word answer.
Yeah, I have a question for you. I didn't hear your voice cracking that, or like what was it?
No.
No, he was good enough.
They were good questions. He just didn't want
to
answer.
They were. He doesn't want to get fined. Is what he is saying.
Outside of the NBL, just quick shout to the Yopals qualifying for the Paris Olympics. That was very cool to see. So good to see the Opals and the Boomers both in the Olympics once again. Tough games there.
Sorry.
They played Brazil, Serbia, and
Germany.
Germany won all three games. They are looking very good going into Olympics
Can
in a
I
few months' time.
Talk a bit more about this because I've covered
it.
Yeah. So the first game was the most important one.
Yeah.
You know,
in Brazil.
Because effectively, if you won at least one game, and it turned out to be that way, if you won at least one game, you're fine. That the Opals didn't need for the Opals to qualify, it was basically don't finish last in that group. Yep. And they effectively got it out of the way after the first game. And then when they beat Germany by 30-something points, it was all but over. And also something that we should also mention is Lauren Jackson is not going to play at the Olympics.
She announced
her national team retirement after the qualifiers. So, just great national team career. We're saying this for, like, what, the third time now?
That's what I'm worried about. I feel like she's going to pick it and come down.
I have a feeling that something else is going to happen. But,
I'm not,
you know,
ruling it out yet. But I know
even if she doesn't play, I feel like she needs to be at the case on the bench.
I will say, watching the final game against Serbia, they gave a whole bunch of minutes to two young girls in particular. One was Jade Melbourne, and she scored like 9 of her 10 points in the final quarter and just carried them in clutch time, crunch time. And like their bigs were in foul trouble the entire game. Tolo fouled out with like 6 minutes to go, and Magmagor and George was on 4 fouls for basically the entirety of the fourth. And the fact that they still won that and they didn't play Jackson and they didn't play Tess Madjan is, you know, something really good. And Serbia's, I want to say, a top 20 team in the world.
I think they're all top teams. Top... Yeah.
Yeah, so just to do that without those players was pretty incredible.
Yeah, and as I said, they're looking good going into the Olympics. They're still missing a few college players that might make the team. I know.
Yep.
I think it's Georgia and Moore is absolutely killing it over there. For Virginia Tech, is that right?
Yes, Virginia Tech.
Could be a top five pick in the WNBA. So
there's a few Aussies that are coming through that could be so lottery.
There's a lot of potential there. A lot of great players coming through for the Opals again. So would love to see the Opals and Boomers both get a medal at the same Olympics. That would be tremendous to see. Now, should we do a rapid five here first? Or should we do tips and do a bit of a ladder predictor? What do we
I say tips? We do... okay, let's do tips. Yeah.
You want to do tips? Why not? Tips? All right.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Change it up for once.
Have you got up the NBL official ladder predictor?
Yeah, I'll put the ladder predictor for...
Oh, so we're doing margin as well?
No. Let's not go there. Okay. But...
look, played with this on Sunday. So, yes,
we did. We tried to think of every solution, but here we go. Aiden, you go first. We'll go one by one each game so we can do the ladder predictor here. Illawarra Perth.
I'm sorry, Jackie, but they all have Perth on the, you know. I think they've just got out Perth and Perth can't stop them.
So you're going Illawarra?
Yep.
This is the game of the round here. New Zealand Brisbane. This will really determine who the final six is. New Zealand Brisbane. You got.
So I think it's you or me. New Zealand.
New Zealand to win at home.
Yeah.
I like it. Melbourne Cairns. In Cairns.
I'll go Cairns.
Really? The upset?
Look, it doesn't matter.
Nah, that game doesn't matter.
There's a few games this round that don't matter.
Cairns will just come out with a, you know, fire out of it. That's why.
Phoenix Sydney. Phoenix can get over the line?
I expect a lot of players to come back, so I think they could get over the line.
I'm gonna
go Phoenix. It's not any bias, it's just because of recent form.
Look at his
I next questioned it last time and you told me not to next question.
Look at his Southeast Melbourne fan.
Well no, you told me to not next question that last time and then
I said any game. Doesn't mean you have to go Phoenix again here. Tassie Perth.
I'll go Tassie at home. It's Tassie at home.
Doesn't really matter.
Yeah, both teams have locked in the positions where they're going to finish, so it doesn't matter what you do.
Melbourne Illawarra, can Illawarra get a good win to finish fourth here?
I would love to say it, but no, I'm going to
go Melbourne.
After and losing Adelaide against Cairns,
Adelaide, New Zealand. I think the six is pretty well locked up here, but this game doesn't really matter. So your final six here, Aiden, you got Melbourne, Perth, Tassie. In third, that's obviously got to be the top three for everyone. Illawarra in fourth, just in percentage, 0.3 more than the Breakers in fifth, and you got Brisbane sixth. So you say Sydney miss out on seventh because of the win that the Phoenix get. So interesting stuff from you, Aiden. Do you agree with that ladder? You think that's got to be it?
I reckon if Sydney keep playing the way they've been playing, they're not going to beat anyone in if they make finals. So it doesn't.
Yeah, that's what we just saw. All right, Jackson, your turn. Illawarra, Perth.
I say Perth beat Illawarra but lose to Tassie.
Hang on, not there yet.
I know, but for future. I say Perth are going to want to beat Illawarra so that they don't have to potentially play him in the semi-final series.
Yeah. So, you
so they're going to go
I'll
all out
Tassie
in that
in the next game. Then. I'll put
and then
game.
They're going to rest a few guys against Tassie.
New Zealand, Brisbane.
Brisbane.
All right. Interesting. Bit different. Melbourne, Cairns. Doesn't really matter this time.
Doesn't matter. Put in Melbourne.
Can Phoenix get over the line against Sydney?
It'll be close, but I've got Sydney.
Okay. Melbourne, Illawarra. Can Illawarra get over the line?
No, I got Melbourne.
And the game to determine the season here, New Zealand, Adelaide.
I've got New Zealand. And then it would be New Zealand would win by like 10 plus.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, I know I had Melbourne beating Illawarra, but I won't be surprised if Illawarra beat Melbourne. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I feel like Illawarra have been playing well.
Well, Melbourne haven't played Illawarra while Tatum has been head coach.
That's what I'm saying.
That is,
like,
that is something that should be mentioned. But yeah. I still think Melbourne would want to finish the season strong. Like I talked to Jacob Chance last Monday, and he's like, we don't want to repeat what we did a couple years ago. So
your final...
Years ago?
Yeah, when they did dental work with Delhi and rested Jack White against Tassie.
Yes.
Chance wasn't there at the time, but...
No,
your final ladder here is Melbourne, Perth, Tassie, obviously. You got Brisbane fourth. But the big thing here is you've got Illawarra, Sydney, New Zealand without percentage. So percentage really comes into effect here.
Exactly.
So without percentage, if every team wins by 1 point, Illawarra are 0.0.
Boy, that would be some final round, eh? 1 point
Illawarra's
win.
0.02 above Sydney.
In quadruple overtime.
So Illawarra, Sydney, New Zealand, all 13 and 15 their record, but Illawarra 0.02 above Sydney, and Sydney are 0.29 above New Zealand. So New Zealand could beat Adelaide by 20.
Yeah.
Like
Illawarra, I've got New Zealand
beat...
beating Adelaide by at least 10.
Illawarra
so could
get
it could
killed
it
by
could...
Perth and Melbourne and miss out on the top six. So
exactly.
Percentage is really going to come to a play, especially right here with 1 point. It's 0.02 between Illawarra and
I
Sydney.
I just
want to
say basically, Sydney needs to win. Sydney fans, if you win, you're not in.
Yeah.
But you're,
if
14 wins get you in. So
basically, Sydney needs to win on Saturday. They don't win.
Well,
then,
Sydney can't get 14 wins, but if
but
they
like,
win,
they have
win.
A good enough percentage to basically.
That's
say,
what we're saying.
Well, they have to beat them by.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, comfortably.
Win
yeah.
First.
They still have a decent
percentage. Because if New Zealand beat Adelaide by 20 points,
which is doable.
Let me have a look. So if I'm doing a scrolling here. 10 points actually moves New Zealand to fifth because Illawarra 0.02. So Illawarra could be six. We could be playing a home final between New Zealand and Illawarra in New Zealand. So this could go anyway. But let's see how wrong we are by the end of the round. But for me, I'm going Illawarra over Perth. They're undefeated in that series, Illawarra. Home game. They win that. They clinch a final series. So 100% I'm going Illawarra. New Zealand, Brisbane. I'm just going to say New Zealand because it is a home game. Tom Abercrombie he doesn't want that to be his last home game in New Zealand. So he's got to win that one. I say the Breakers. Melbourne, Cairns doesn't really matter. I'll go Melbourne in that one. Phoenix, Sydney. I think Sydney will win. But I don't think they'll win by that much. I honestly
are
don't
you
think
going
they'll win by
that favorites, much. Or are you going out just because of logic?
No, I think Sydney should win that.
At least the last time.
No, I think Sydney should win that.
Sorry, guys.
I said that in hundreds of games, but Sydney, I think, will win, but I don't think it'll be a lot. Tassie Perth, I'll just say Tassie home game there. Melbourne Illawarra, I don't think Hawks will beat Melbourne. And Adelaide, New Zealand, I think New Zealand will win by a bit there. So that leaves me with Melbourne, Perth, Tassie, Illawarra, New Zealand, Sydney, and Brisbane. Was that the same as you, Aiden? I think.
No, I think I had Brisbane in, not Sydney.
Did you say Brisbane beat New Zealand?
No, I said Phoenix would beat Sydney.
Oh, that's right.
That's because of the series. It's not because of just me being biased.
So with my results is pretty well...
Pretty much Jackson, yeah.
Pretty well...
Not, yeah.
No, it's not Jackson's, but it's Melbourne, Perth,
No, same six, just different order.
New Zealand, Sydney, but there's no close with Brisbane missing out. Brisbane are like 3% off Sydney, so they really got no chance. New Zealand, Illawarra, again, their percentages.
Wouldn't Phoenix versus Sydney be a game around? Because technically, Phoenix, if they knock Sydney off, it's game over.
Nah, New Zealand, Brisbane. Because if Brisbane beat New Zealand, and then you'll be down to the last game of the year between New Zealand and Adelaide. And New Zealand would have to win. Even if New Zealand beat Adelaide, they have to win by a bit of a margin to get over Sydney if Sydney beat Phoenix. There's a whole lot of situations, right? And we know the top three is locked in, but it's that 4-7 range that is very interesting to watch. But we'll see what happens. It could be anyway. We'll see who's right. But rapid five, let's finish it off with this. Brian Gorgeous or Scott Ninnis? Head coach at Adelaide.
Gorgeous.
Should another team pick up Tahir McCall next season?
Yes. If the money is right, yes. Sorry.
Depends which team, but yeah.
Could Dejan Vasiljevic and Isaac Humphries both make the Boomer squad for the Olympics?
Or, yes.
They're like, the squad of 24 is going to make it stand for the game.
Final 12.
Yeah.
Yes.
Should the Hawks re-sign Justin Tatum on a one-year deal or a multi-year deal?
What
do we do, like, 1 year plus one? Is that
that's
multi-year?
What I mean. That's what I'm saying. One plus one. I can't say what, like, 2 years.
Okay, I'll go multi then, if that's the...
Multi in terms of plus whatever.
And should this semi-finals series be a 5-game series?
No.
Yes, eventually, I believe it should become a 5-game series.
How soon?
5 years. Like, yeah. When they add two more teams, I think that should be a good idea.
I'm just worried about the clashing the footy fixtures and all that. Like, I don't feel like Australian sport does it well.
Maybe.
But like, you look at how many times teams play once in comparison to times they play twice, and you could say, oh, we can cram in another 10 games here. Like,
or, look, I don't know if they're going to do this, but they should play once a week. Like, if they've got 12 teams, it should be a game once a week. It shouldn't be two games. I think they not that could work once that happens.
That's it. You guys got anything to add before we go into the final round of the season? Really excited for this, to see the final spots. Every
teams
game...
rest players though? That's the question. Do teams rest players for the FIBA break?
No. 100%
not. I would say, no, that's what I'm thinking.
I think what Melbourne will do is what they did with that Phoenix game a couple of weeks ago. They'll play like Daly Goulding, maximum 20 minutes in that game against Cairns and maybe Illawarra too. But they won't fully rest these guys. There's no point.
Well, I feel like rest is a stronger word.
Yeah. They're more likely to get injured first game in the semifinals if they haven't played in 3 weeks, rather than playing these two games. So,
well, especially for the top two teams, they're going to have done a week off as well.
Yep.
Sorry.
Every game's going to matter for the final round, except the Melbourne Cairns. Well, Cairns still a mathematical chance, isn't that right?
But they're going to have to pump them, like 100 point.
Like the first time they played United in. With
but
Josh Roberts.
Every game except that one, truly.
Josh
matters.
Roberts going for 50 and 20.
That's your hot take there.
right there.
Every game truly matters on percentage wise and ladder position wise. So keep an eye on every game. It's going to be an exciting finish of the year. And who knows, it could be a third year in a row we go down to the final shot of the season.
As Jackson would say, as he's going to say.
I said that the first episode of this season, okay? And I'm sticking by it.
Could happen. New Zealand,
you're
Adelaide,
sticking by
New Zealand
it
until
it breaks.
We need
like
a Tom Abercrombie 3-pointer to extend the lead to 20 and get them in over Sydney. Scenes. Anyway, see you guys in the next episode.